Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. I'm joined by Andy today. Hello.
Hello Molly.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. We are joining us just the two of you today and it's been a while since we've done an episode like this. We've had a lot of guests on the podcast recently, which we're very happy about. We've had some very good conversations, some excellent guests joining us. But today we thought we'd bring it back to the original hosts, I guess, and just have a discussion about how to help you and your print business. So if you haven't already guessed from the title of today's podcast, we're going to be talking about how you can secure larger orders and increase your average order value. So if you're stuck printing maybe smaller orders and you want to secure some of those bigger jobs, or if you want to land some bigger customers, for example, or if you're just struggling to increase your average order value in general, then this episode is the one that you need to listen to. So I have a list of things that I think people can do, consider, and take action on that we're just going to run through today. Do you have anything to add before we get started?
No, let's get stuck in. I know we've had a lot of questions on the lives, and people DMing us on Instagram and TikTok asking these sorts of questions. So I think it's a good time to get stuck into it.
So the first one I want to talk about is bundling up products and services. Now, obviously, with your heat press, you can print a very wide variety of garments and accessories. And majority of the time, your customers are going to want to buy more than one particular item from you. So if they're buying t-shirts from you, where are they buying their sweatshirts from? Where are they buying the hoodies from? Do they need hats? Do they need any other form of apparel for their business?
I think that's a good point. And that's the easiest way for people, especially in that first growth stage, the easiest way to grow your business is to grow your existing customers rather than always having to have new customers coming in. Mm-hmm. Anything you can do to grow your existing customer database or to grow your existing customer order size, even if it's like £10, but yeah, you have 100 customers and they all raise it by £10, mm-hmm, or £10 per person, per customer, it all starts to really add up quite quickly that way.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really good place to start with. And like you say, you've got so many options of what they could decorate. And it's probably worth going through your, you know, maybe it's going through your stock orders of the blank items and being like, I'm selling loads of t-shirts, but like say, no hoodies.
That's a good point, actually.
Or
yeah,
no
good
hats,
suggestion.
Whatever it could be that you're missing out on. And just be like, oh, that seems a little bit strange that I'm not selling any of that. But you either see that your customer wearing them somewhere.
Or yeah, you're like, I didn't print those.
or you know, like, you know, especially in the UK, you know, you're like, you're guaranteed that no one's just going to be wearing t-shirts all day, especially if it's like corporate or work wear.
I thought you were going to say like the weather at the moment, but that as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's like, yeah, it's nice today, but like, 2 days ago, it was horrible.
Yeah, I think it has just started to rain as well. So we're not doing very
well
today.
Then. You definitely need a hoodie. Every customer needs a hoodie then.
Every customer needs a hoodie or a sweatshirt. And like the live video that I did recently about the workwear variety for local businesses, there's so many different types of businesses that all want different things as well. So it might be hoodies, it might be denim jackets, it might be high-vis options. It's not just a case of t-shirts and hoodies. So much to explore there if you want to increase your average order value.
Yeah, and if if you're relatively new to dealing with the large orders, most customers or end users are going to be expecting you to offer that as an option anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's better to offer, like, not like everything. Don't want to be like one of those idiots on Hell's Kitchen where they've got 10 different menus, but you could offer, like, rather than say just offer a t-shirt and a hoodie, it could be like you offer 6 items,
mm-hmm,
but, and then if you get a 4, you still increased it by a couple.
That's a good point.
It's a bit like the good, better, best, but it's like the small, medium, large packs.
It's like almost like the pricing, isn't it? I mean, we always recommend to go in strong with your pricing and don't deviate from it, because otherwise it shows that you are willing to drop it.
Yeah.
But if you always put the price above where you think you want it, if it does go down slightly, then you're still happy with where that outcome sits. Yeah. So bundle up products and services always goes down very well.
Yep.
The second one that we've got is highlight premium options. Now, we do offer a lot of premium finishes, special effect finishes. Even if you're just using our, I don't want to say standard, that's not the right word, but our classic heat transfers, like the screen print, we still offer, you know, neons and metallics with that. So there's so many different finishes that you can promote to your customers that will put your products ahead of your competitors and really make yours stand out and seem more expensive to them in a way.
Yeah, and then you can play around with the different blank types to go with them as well. So we talk a lot about, like, hey, you know, it's not just the literally increasing the value sometimes. It could be that actually there's 10p difference in the two different t-shirts or jumpers, but it's also playing around with that perceived value of the product to go with it. We're not, like I say, we're not going to charge you any extra for a neon or a metallic finish, but your customer will look at it and be like, that's probably, you know, an extra pound or two right there just by having a special finish.
Yeah.
Same with a lot of the blanks. Like I say, it could be 50p, but it looks like it's £5 extra. Or adding the neck label in makes it seem, you know, special that way.
Yeah. And you can even, I know we say you charge more for special finishes in general, but you could even offer it as like a special add-on service, like offer your basic product and then it's X amount more for that speciality finish, whether it be vinyl or transfers or whatever it is that you want to show. Okay. So building customer relationships, AKA playing the long game. This one we talk about all the time. Customer relationships are very, very important. And I think the customers that will place the bigger orders with you eventually might test it first, maybe put a few smaller orders through. And I guess what I'm getting at with this one is you don't want to discount the smaller orders at the beginning because you don't know where they're going to end up. And if you nurture that relationship and, I don't say hang on to your clients, but build that relationship over time, you build that element of trust with them. And they, similar to what you were saying about if people will use local, they, if they can use local, they will. If somebody's got that relationship with you, they're more likely to just automatically beeline for you for everything that they need.
Yeah, if it's, you know, let's assume this is kind of probably more on the fulfillment side of things. So it's, we're talking workwear or branded promo wear garments. Then the reason for a business of wanting to choose someone is they know that, one, they want the tops to last a long time or a reasonable amount of time, so they're not having to constantly buy stuff for their the people working for them. But they also want it to be something that the people who work there are wearing all the time. As a minimum, is that between 9 and 5 when they're doing their job. That could be on site somewhere, that could be off site for a more hands-on vocation. But they're working around as that business card. So what you don't want is for your designs, your finished garment to be walking around and fading and cracking and looking bad, because that's ultimately what you're going to be judged on. You know, there could be, and the pricing will come into it for some of those customers, but there's a chance to explain, okay, well, I'm, you know, don't have to tell them it's us, our transfers you're using, but if you are using our transfers, they will last longer than any other transfer. So that's a message for you, like, higher wash quality, longer vibrancy. So that walking advertisement for your business is always going to be looking in the best possible shape.
Custom.sales.co.uk.
Yeah, exactly. So if you are presenting to that customer and building that relationship is every time you go and see them and the garments are still looking good, then you know you're doing something good. And people will, if they have a good product, they'll stick to it. People tend to buy the same. It could be toothpaste, deodorant, whatever it might be.
It's what you know and what you're comfortable with.
What you're comfortable with. And once people want to feel comfortable with products, and you want them to develop a relationship with you to feel comfortable with your garment decorating. So if you can provide quality, that's a great way of doing it, because it means that they know that they're, you know, extension of their brand, and if they're the business owner you're pitching to, it's an extension of them. That way, if it always looks good, they're going to be happy and they want to keep coming back to you time after time after time.
Exactly. You mentioned this one a second ago, the good, better, best option. I think this is important to touch on in this episode, because when you're offering your customers a tiered system of, in terms of when it comes to quality of apparel, I think that really helps with increasing your average order value as well. Because if you're offering somebody a good, better, best option, majority of people are going to go for the middle range, right? Like 9 times out of 10. But if you don't offer them those options, they'll probably look for the price point of the cheapest one. So even though in their heads they think they're going for the more cost-effective option in the middle, they're probably still purchasing one up from what they were before, if that makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah. Yeah, I think that's, it's always best offer good, better, best. because it just, it's, you don't want to give them too many options. That's why like threes are always quite helpful.
If you offer too many, you're just going to pick yourself in trouble.
Yeah. Your catalog will start to get really big. Your stock will start to get really big. And it's, you know, it shows that you know more about the products as well. That way, if you say, which one of these 10 do you want? They're like, the customer might look at you and be like, well, shouldn't you tell me? But if you can narrow it down to one, two, and three, and you explain, this is why I've offered it to you, here's everything you need to know about the product, it's a lot easier to understand and really gain the knowledge of the product, the thread, the GSM of the cotton, and all that sort of really interesting detail that you can then pass on.
Yeah.
But that way, it makes it easier for the customer as well to actually pick something.
Yeah.
You just say, what do you want? They'll be like,
I don't know. I also think it gives the customer confidence in you as a printer that you, like you said, you know what you're talking about, as well as making it easier for them, which when you are dealing with those slightly bigger customers or you're trying to increase the order that customer is purchasing, that always comes in handy if they trust you can complete the job well. Cycling back round to what we said before about very briefly about pricing, I want to touch on how you get your pricing across to your customer. So I said previously that if you are going to deliver a price, deliver it with confidence and don't deviate. Because I think the second that you go in with a price, say you go in with, this t-shirt's £20. If you sit there in silence and the customer is sort of looking at you, considering it, and you straight away go, oh, but I might be able to do it for 18, or I might be able to do it for 17, or, you know, this is the lowest I can go, that customer is immediately going to think that you can drop your price and you will. But if you go in and say, this is the price, and be happy to walk away from it, you're more likely to get what you want profit wise from that item, because they're like, okay, well, that's the price. Like, you don't walk into a retail store and be like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. I'm just going to, you know, pay £3 or £4 less per item. The price is the price, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's not just your offering, it's your presentation of the offering.
Your delivery, yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that a lot of more experienced people would do with these customers, and chances are that your customer could be experienced enough to do it. But essentially, it comes down to controlling the pace of the conversation. If you're doing it in person or via video, however, maybe if it's long, as it's kind of like eye contact to eye contact, there's a real power in controlling the science, so it's like controlling the silence.
It is a science, though.
Yeah, it is a science, yeah. But if you don't do what I just said, then say, every time you are in this conversation with your customer and you're trying to talk about price, never say You want to say because you're thinking, I'm trying to stall for time. They want a discount. I don't want to offer them one. And you kind of go, anything. Instead of saying just say nothing.
Just pause.
It's more intelligent to say nothing than to
In any form
in any
of life.
In any form of life.
Not just in price delivery, but in any form, in podcast form as well.
If you're talking to a customer, you're having a conversation about price, you can control that conversation by owning that silence. If you're comfortable in it, they're more likely to
crack under than
you are. You perhaps slow down your cadence of the way you're talking a bit as well. So don't rush and be like, well, we could do this.
Yeah.
Because it makes you sound less
nervous.
Professional, shows you're nervous. Yeah. They'll think, oh, great, I can get a good deal out of this person.
Yeah.
But if you're calm and cool and professional, take your time, you can control the conversation more. Perhaps something that might be worth investigating for people who are looking to pitch, especially if it's your first time pitching, maybe go and watch videos of like how to present to an audience, because you might find actually that could be one of the most important things you do.
Yeah,
is how you actually go in there and have that conversation with people. I mean, God knows how many YouTube videos there must be on that particular subject, but I know there's a lot.
Well, I mean, along the similar lines, I was actually going back through this morning watching some of our old, very, very old YouTube videos, like the first ones that we ever posted. And I said to you just afterwards, I was like, we've changed so much in what we put out now as to what we did before. And it's the same thing. We've learned and come on in how we present things. And similarly with the podcast, you know, how we spoke on the podcast 2 years ago isn't the same as how we speak now. I like to think for the better. But it's the same thing with customers, isn't it? The first time that you do it, it might not be perfect. But if you go in there armed with a few things up your sleeve that you've learned from YouTube videos, from other people that run their own businesses, things like that, then it's going to be better than you just going in there with nothing at all.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to say no as well. If, you know, if you're doing this as your first time or early start in this period of time, mm-hmm. make sure you have those numbers down so you know exactly what your best yeah. price is, what you can afford to do, including your labor. Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong with saying no to the jobs. I saw that print guy friend Matt talking about this on TikTok oh, yeah. the other day about how it's very good to say no. I think he just said no to a customer because they had a ridiculous demand. But sometimes it makes you more powerful by saying no. Mm-hmm. The customer might still come back the next time and be like, okay, I know you said no, but what about this?
Yeah.
But if you're not going to make money on it, don't be afraid to walk away either.
Yeah, it's not worth your time.
No, but unless you really have those numbers absolutely perfect, mm-hmm. check them again. Maybe get someone else to have a look at them. Even if you're a sole trader, it's just you in the business, get a friend or a family to look through those numbers and just be like, does this make sense? And then you can have that tier discounting or best, but could better best, mm-hmm. but with the prices built in so that you can still make money. And if you're yep. not going to make money, they try and mess you around. Even if you're controlling the conversation, just say no and walk away.
Yeah. And like you said, it does make you more powerful because the customer you're pitching to or presenting to will think, oh, okay, they're not just going to, you know, do whatever we want. They are respectable business people. They run this for a profit like we do, yeah. et cetera.
I always tell people is a bit like Louis Theroux interviews. Part of the way he gets such a good interview out of people is because he lets the silence just linger there. I mean, he lets it linger in an uncomfortable way that I wouldn't do for a customer. But you could see that because people want to fill the space with noise, that, and it could just be them saying yes to a deal or conceding a little bit, yeah. but that's when they start to like spill all their secrets to him.
They just start talking.
You just ask them a question, just kind of sits there and stares at them for ages, and then it'll be like, well, yeah, I did this and I did that.
Blah, 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 blah.
But that you can apply some of the same principles here yeah. as well.
Yeah, that's a good tip. So deliver prices with confidence, know them before you go in there and go armed with a few tips up your sleeve.
Yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to have your laptop or a price grid of some sort in front of you. So that way, when it comes down to the conversation about pricing, if it's in person, then, you know, have your laptop out in front of you. Don't let them see it, obviously. And talk through the numbers. And if they say, what about this, what about this? Or, you know, you'll have a grid maybe of what, here's what I'm comfortable going down to.
Yeah.
Try not to get to that point.
Like if you want to order 10, 20, 30, or this is yeah. the lowest I can afford to go with my profit range, blah, blah, blah.
And if you're on the phone, you know, or, you know, Zoom or Teams call about it, then have a second screen with your spreadsheet open in front of you so you know exactly what your prices are. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a virtual call for this pitch, then there's no excuses for not having all your prices in front of
you. No, and at this point in your business, you should know what price your lowest is in order to still make a profit on the job.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, 6 months or a year's worth of taking print orders, you're going to know which ones make you money and which ones you do yeah. for too little.
And, you know, that's where the most important thing about where people are growing is that they lose money because they're over discounting. Yeah. And that's not good for their business because obviously they're not going to make a profit. You know, we've seen plenty of companies come and go because they've not priced appropriately and it means that they've not been making money from their orders.
Yeah.
Or if you discount too much or discount all the time, people just assume you're going to discount. You become a discounting person. That's how they think of you.
And the second that you put your price up at full price, they're like, oh, I won't do that. They're going to offer a discount soon.
They know exactly. They know it's going to be an email or they're going to phone you up and be like, okay, what if I did this?
Mm-hmm. It's almost a form of desperation, isn't it? If you're yeah. desperate for the sale, you will drop your price at some point and they'll clock onto that.
But if you make sure you pitch your business in the right way, mm-hmm. explain the quality, explain how you differentiate from others, that way you can justify the pricing that way.
Yeah. And the less that you discount your prices, the higher your average order will be yeah. because you're not going to be knocking pounds off of each garment that you produce. Okay, the next one is target local businesses. Now, in terms of this kind of merges into the next one as well with target corporate clients. And the reason I wanted to talk about this one is because if you're trying to secure bigger print jobs and you want to make more money every time somebody sends an order through, if your current clients don't have the scale or the capacity to offer you those jobs, then you need to look elsewhere for it. You need to be going after clients that have got employees that need apparel, that have, I don't know, customers that will buy merch or something along those lines. You can't rely on small companies to increase your growth, because yes, they might grow as you grow, and that's fantastic if you're, you know, both helping each other out. But if you're in a position to target slightly more corporate clients, especially within your local area, I think that's something that people need to consider, is the scale that their customers have, not just the scale that they are able to produce.
I think a lot of people like to buy local if they can, at most any size of business, really. So I think if they can buy their 100 or 200 or whatever it may be from someone locally, there's a kind of a nice peace of mind about doing that anyway. There's like a kind of ethical value attached to that, which helps, but also gives you a competitive advantage. I mean, we're in the UK, so it doesn't really matter as much. You can ship everything same day or next day sometimes, but if there is an emergency and they need you to print something and deliver it by lunchtime, then it puts you in a strong position to do so, to be able to help them out if it's appropriate. It's not going to interrupt you failing something else, but you could put yourself in a strong position that way to be the local printer of businesses like that.
Yeah.
And local businesses tend to talk as well, which then gives you nice word of mouth business as well. So one bigger business do it, they might be at a, you know, a local community business meeting where they might be talking about, yeah, I got this done by Molly, she's this one. Oh, great, I might give her a call. I've got these, I need 10 new jackets and 20 new hoodies. Maybe she could do that for me. People like to support each other locally, become strong, reach that way. Because you might be something you can do reciprocal for one of these businesses.
Mm.
You know, perhaps they have an offering, you'd be like, actually, you know, have you thought about going to see Molly about whatever it could be, anything that's unrelated to garment decorating, but that's what their business does.
Yeah. And word of mouth is a lot stronger than any form of self-advertising you can do as well, because I think people trust other people in terms of what they've had done previously, or if it's a friend, you're more likely to go with something that they've done from like a security point of view, I think. So yeah, that's good, especially if you can get the bigger corporate clients to start having that word of mouth about your business. Okay, the next one is introduce subscription plans. This one I think is really important, because if you can, say for example, the corporate clients we were just talking about, if they do have employees or they have merch that needs turning over on a monthly basis, that's going to be a regular thing. And if you can offer them, say on the first of each month or every other month, depending on how frequently they need the items, I will give you this, this, and this. And if you secure or sign a contract for a year with me or something like that, I'll give you this much discount over that period of time. The client thinks that they're getting a discount, or they are getting a bit of a discount, which is a bonus for them. They don't have to think about ordering the stuff that they need every month. It's revenue already in your pocket before the month even begins that you know is coming in. So it's probably not something that's suitable for every customer in your database, but it would definitely be suitable for a certain type of business.
Yeah, I think the most important thing there probably is to make sure that if that's something you're going to offer, that it is done through a web page. So that it's not just a case of, you know, are you going to buy this every month?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to be having to chase them for it. It should be like an automated direct debit thing, because it probably be smaller orders, but it's every, so you know, something that is regular.
Yeah.
So that way it automatically triggers rather than having to be like chase them and they go, no.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You want that money to be already in transaction on that first day. Yes, 100%. The final point that I wanted to talk about today was customer testimonials and case studies. How many times when you purchase a product do you read the reviews before you buy it?
Always, I think now. Yeah.
Exactly. So why should it be any different for a custom printed product?
It shouldn't be any different.
If you're not getting customer testimonials through, then ask for them. Like we said in the previous point, you are going to have those customers that you have that relationship with and that have that trust within you, and they would probably be more than happy to provide you with some form of review or comment about your services that you can use to give that confidence to the next customer that doesn't know you yet.
I think that's easy. People do look for those reviews. It's really helpful to them. They want to have a third party endorsement of them. Mm-hmm. So anything you can do to encourage either a Google review or a review on your website, or if you have a really great relationship with the customer, let them post it. You post a picture of them on social media with them talking about how much they loved it. Anything like that is always really great ammo to get the next customer on board.
Exactly. And especially if it's going to be one of those bigger customers with a bigger order, like what we were talking about earlier, increasing the average order value, securing larger jobs. If those customers are going to be placing that bigger order with you, they want more of a security and more confidence that you are the right person for the job. So that's only going to help with that point as well.
Another one I wanted to bring up was doing your homework on your customers. If you're prospective customers, don't just go in there and not know anything about that customer. It's really important that you do your homework on these customers to make sure you learn, you know, see if you can find them on Facebook or Instagram. You don't have to tell them you did that, but you might understand, oh, maybe now I know which football team they support, or I know what TV programs they watch, or just something that you can just maybe sprinkle in a few little anecdotes about that you can then name up. Oh, this person's on the same wavelength as me.
Yeah, create that connection with them.
Yeah, exactly. Create a connection with them. They want to work with someone that they feel has shared interests, even if they're not. Mm-hmm. For the sake of that, keeping that customer, you have to pretend and do your homework like you do for the rest of time, I guess. But
would you say that you didn't like rugby to secure a job, Andy?
I mean, if that was what we needed to do to get a nice transfer order here, I'd pretend.
Okay. Just for everyone listening, Andy's a big rugby fan, so that's a big statement.
But you can, you know, pretend and or at least learn about those customers, even if you're not something you're not interested in. It's interesting finding out what people are interested in or passionate about anyway.
Yeah, you can show an interest in their interest.
I think that way, when you if you're preparing a presentation or you're putting a example garment in front of them, you put something that you know that they're interested in. It could be either something they're interested in personally, or if you happen to see what the staff are currently wearing.
Yeah, their logo,
put their logo on something, or present something similar but better than what they already have. Mm-hmm. Then you can immediately go in and be like, look how impressive this. Don't go in and be like, then ask the questions. You know, ask the questions, but already have the answers to those questions anyway.
Yeah.
Don't wait to find out about them at the first meeting.
Yeah.
Because it shows a kind of lack of respect to the person you're going into to pitch to. Mm-hmm. So I think research is always extremely important.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that it will separate you from whoever else they're talking to about that job as well. Because when we're talking about these bigger orders, there's no way that these companies aren't talking to more than one printer at the same time, right? Even if it's two options, they're always going to weigh up which one would be best for them. And I think if you're the person out of the two meetings, even if your pricing was the same, your quality was the same, that this personal aspect will give you that edge over the competitor that will probably secure you that job, even if everything else was the same. Or, you know, even if your competitors, it shouldn't be if you're using Stahl's products, but if your competitor product is slightly better than yours, they might still choose you and your company because of that connection, because of that trust element.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
Any other points on increasing average order value and winning bigger orders?
I think just keep it simple, really. It's know your prices. Number one is the most important thing. If you don't know your prices inside out, you're not going to last very long, unless circumstances or any other, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I would, just to go back to the point we were making earlier about the controlling and owning the presentation of the pitch.
Yes.
So really go back and do your homework about how to actually pitch to these customers. Mm-hmm. If they're bigger customers, think about every kind of moment, you know, almost try and game plan the whole conversation of what could happen. You know, if they're coming to you, make sure you put the seats in the right place. Make sure when they sit down, they're going to be looking what you want them to look at the whole time. They don't want them to look out the door. Mm. You want them to look at some product, or you want to look at a screen or something interesting. Think about every little detail when they come in. What cups are you serving them tea or coffee in? Have you got tea or coffee? Mm-hmm. That's another important thing to think about. Where you going, if you're going to them, you know, maybe make sure you know how long it takes to go there. If it's your first pitch meeting like that, I would do a drive-by if it's not too far away, just to make sure I know exactly how long it takes to get there, mm-hmm. where there is to park, what the building looks like.
If it's a bit further, arrive early and find a coffee shop and know that you're 2 minutes around the corner.
Exactly, yeah. Think about every kind of micro transactional part of the pitch that you're going to be in mm-hmm. and how you might be able to control that or improve it. Even if it's little things like, you know, have you folded your t-shirts and hoodies that you're taking into the meeting? Do they look pristine? Have you run a lint roller over them mm-hmm. to make sure there's no fluff on them? Have you, you know, cleaned your trainers or your shoes that you're going in with them? You know, maybe even like clearing any junk out of your car in case they happen to bump into you or leave at the same time and they're like, oh, they don't take very good care of themselves.
That's a very good point.
And I think the only other thing that I would say is to really make sure you're talking to the right people.
Okay. So in terms of has the power to say yes to the job,
you need to think about who has the power to say yes to the job is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately you want to make sure the ultimate decision maker is ticking it and saying yes, they
and
like
he's
you.
On board, yeah.
But you need to make sure who is the driver of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So in most of the people listening, it's probably going to be the person who's perhaps phoning up to get the order, or it's going to be the person wearing it. Chances are the person who's going to tick it off and sign it, let's say it's the business owner,
mm-hmm.
unless they care passionately about how their staff are dressed, they probably, it's not that they don't care, but it might not necessarily be the most pressing thing to them.
If they're not going to be the ones wearing it, it is probably just another thing to tick off the list for the day for them. Yeah. Make sure staff have.
So you want to make sure the people driving the conversation about what the staff wear are in your conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that I got taught a long time ago from a previous company. So I used to be marketing product design software. And the salesperson, the sales manager will always say, you know, the person who's going to pay, let's say, £7,000-£10,000 for some software, it's not the same person who's using it.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure, if you're going to go and see a customer, oh, can I have a look around the factory? Can I see what everyone's up to? And then, you know, you go and find out, or at least find out who the decision maker is or who's going to make the most noise to get
push
your job
for that product.
Push for this product or push for this new staff wear to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure that you speak to them and make a good impression on them as well, because they're going to be like, I really liked Molly when she came in. I think we should use her.
Mm.
Or that product that Molly brought in was way better than the other company's product. We should have that.
Yeah, the people that are going to be wearing it are going to have more passion and more of an opinion about what they want to wear, and they're more likely to push the person who ultimately signs the
and
deal.
And the business owner is going to want to keep them happy, so you should want to keep them happy and make sure that you know, and perhaps, you know, as you check in throughout the year, they're also a person you check in with out throughout the year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep them happy, keep them on side. They're going to keep pushing for you to be the one providing more and more stuff. Or, you know, you change from, you get the job in the summer, it changes to the winter. Now they need winter stuff. They're going to keep driving that on. So make sure you're speaking to the person who's going to pay for it, but also who's the actual like decision maker. Mm-hmm. Or the decision influencer, perhaps that's the best way to say it.
I think both decision maker and decision influencer.
Without the influencer, you know, the pitch could be useless.
Yeah, because like you say, that person's not or may not be wearing the actual end product. Yeah. I think that's a very good note to finish on. Thank you very much for that, Andy. If everybody watching, like I said at the beginning, if you are stuck printing smaller orders, if you are looking for ways to increase your average order value, these points are what's going to help you and separate you from your competitors. It's going to help you take that next step. So even if it means listening to this episode a couple of times over, really making sure all those points are ingrained in your brain, go through, take notes. Like Andy said, go on YouTube and look at ways to pitch, ways to present and educate yourself properly. Because at this point, if you're trying to level your business up, the amount of time that you put into it is going to show with the results and the success that you have. So this episode is point number one, but you've got a few other things to tick off the list. So thank you very much for listening to the Garment Decorators podcast. We will be back next week with another episode, Mondays at 11 a.m. as always. We are on season 13 now. We're coming up to our 100th podcast episode. Can you believe that?
It's crazy.
It's been a lot of podcast episodes we've recorded. So if anybody has any fun ideas for what you would want to see for the 100th episode, then do leave them below in the comments. We're still brainstorming what we're going to do for the actual episode itself. So we'd love to hear what you think. And of course, like and subscribe so that we can keep producing more episodes like this and getting some really cool guests on. But until next week, thanks for listening.